Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Empower House, our focus this morning. Kathy Anderson is here, the executive director of Empower House. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I have not seen you in a while, and it has been good before the show just to catch up on all the things going on. It is very good to have you in. There is a lot of things going on with Empower House, and just to get the word out of the great things that you do. You are dealing with domestic violence, and in so many different areas in the area. And for people who aren't aware, I'll let you talk just a few minutes about what Empower House does.
Sure, it's good for people to know because sadly we still hear people saying, "I didn't know about you."
I just went through that last week.
You know, and for people who know about us, and for me too, that's hard to believe, but it's really not. I mean, we have a 24-hour hotline, and we'll get that out of the way, as we always say. It's 540-373-9373, and that's a phone number for anyone. It's not, you know, it says hotline, but a family member can call, a stranger can call, a friend can call. You know, if you're wondering, oh, I'm seeing this and I'd really like to do something, but I'm not really sure what to do. I mean, we can talk through those scenarios as well. But we've been a nonprofit organization in the community since 1978. And, it was formed at that time because there was no community-based anything response for folks experiencing domestic violence and their children. And so the people who were seeing it mainly were law enforcement going to homes when they were called out. At the time, there weren't a lot of legal tools available. There are more now. But law enforcement was seeing it, and social workers were seeing it, and magistrates were seeing it. And, you know, people got together and said, you know, this is a real problem, that people are in the distress that they're in and they're trapped, and there aren't good resources for them, and there aren't good resources for those going into the homes and seeing the violence and seeing the devastation, and there was nothing they could do. And that's how they formed the organization that is now Empower House. Of course, it's very different having nothing. And now what it is we're doing now, serving the five localities of this area, which are Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George, and Caroline.
I have been able to see firsthand, and I feel fortunate that I've seen, especially in the law enforcement front, how you work so closely with them now, and they have learned so much. And all agencies, city police and the area sheriff's departments, will talk about how they understand things so much better, or they can use you as a resource.
Well, you know, we've learned so much from them, and, you know, to be clear, it was in the early days law enforcement saying we need resources. Mm-hmm. You know, so right, there may have been a period of time where both here in our community and maybe across the country and statewide, where, you know, those relationships aren't as strong as they need to be. We've certainly worked diligently, as have our law enforcement partners, to, you know, grow those connections, because we all see the benefit when we're working very closely. We still are a confidential, you know, provider, and that means we're very limited on what we can share individually and personally about any one situation or case, if you will, whereas, you know, maybe that's a little more free-flowing within those agencies. Not externally, of course. What I mean by that is sometimes there can be some tensions in our work together where it may appear that we're not wishing to be, you know, in partnership. And that's far from the case. And I think we've, you know, worked on that a lot. And I think they see us as a resource. We see them as a resource. Our survivors, more importantly, see all of these players when needed as a resource. And that is what we all want.
Kathy Anderson here with Empower House. Again, that hotline number is 373-9373. And you mentioned about anybody calling that. We'll get into that. We'll talk about that as we go along this morning, too. And there are some events going on and all kinds of ways that you can get involved financially, too, with Empower House. And we will talk about that. 373-9373, that hotline number. More coming up with Kathy Anderson on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It's Kathy Anderson in this morning from Empower House. Again, that hotline number, 373-9373. Just a second ago, Kathy, when you talked about that hotline number, and I think I probably was in the group of people who thought, well, you only would call, that's like calling 911. You would only call that if it's a real emergency. And I know that's what it's that's what it is there for. But if you do suspect something and, you know, if you need some guidance, would
Absolutely.
You use it for that?
Most of our phone calls do come during the day. So it's a 24-hour line. So maybe all of that makes it intimidating as like, oh, that's not the line I should call. You should.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is just a number to say, well, you know, and a lot of people say, I'm not sure I'm calling the right number. And sometimes that's, you know, exactly what we're talking about. It's like, I'm not really sure if this is who I should be talking to. And then we work through it. For survivors who call and say, I'm not sure this is who I should be talking to, they're usually minimizing because they don't have a frame of reference. So they're usually saying, well, surely someone else's situation is worse than mine. And maybe, you know, you're using the words domestic violence and that's probably not what's happening here. You know, it's
interesting. And I know that's what you deal with most people initially who come in and just feel like there's something else going on here. And
most people, I would say yes. And a lot of that, you know, it's just surprising, but once a person works through and talks through some of the things they're seeing, if they're willing to open up, because that's the other thing. People aren't necessarily calling and assuming they want to connect with a stranger, although a stranger, I would argue, is easier than most people. Most people do confide in family and friends first, but there so much comes with that. So much expectation, so much emotion, and it is difficult for us, any of us, to fully support our friends and family. Not difficult in that we don't want to, but just there are those, we might not have the clearest head, and we also might not have the training, you know, to do that well. But people call, they don't recognize it, and they don't recognize it because we've not given our world, our people, our population, the terminology or what these signs are. So when you and I talk about it, you know, we can talk about the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the put downs. We're not talking about an argument where there's an equal, you know, two people who maybe they're angry about something, maybe they're disagreeing about something, and maybe that argument didn't go well. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, although it can be confusing for the person in it, we're talking about someone who repeatedly is belittled, someone who is controlled by their partner, someone who ends up through a series of actions being isolated from others, whether that's putting them down in front of other people so they're embarrassed, or whether it's in becoming enraged in front of other people, again, they become embarrassed, or whether they're afraid, based on things that were said, that they're going to be harmed because of the interactions they have with other people. For example, someone may go to the grocery store or the convenience store and then come out of that store and be accused of flirting with someone else. The kinds of things that people get accused of when domestic violence is happening are very crazy making types of accusations that eventually wear down a person. I don't even know if I can adequately describe what
now,
that's like.
As you talk about it, because I'm going by what I've seen on movies or things like that, but where it's something like that, just out of the blue, And then you just, I would think that a person after a while, when that keeps going, you just become, you don't want to make eye contact with anybody at any time, and your life just becomes miserable, and like, you're on, it's tension filled.
A normal, rational, you know, easygoing person,
right,
at first is going to know things that are said to them aren't true, and that they don't reflect the person, that they doesn't reflect themselves. You can have high self-esteem and still be abused, and a lot of people don't understand that, because it's a pattern. It's working on someone over time. It's getting close, establishing trust, and falling in love, or some other thing that makes people dependent on one another. It's the things that all of us expect or assume to happen in a relationship when you do form bonds and trust with another, with your partner. Unfortunately, with domestic violence, you've got a person taking advantage of that trust and slowly allowing this other side to take over. So slowly that, you know, we've referred to it as boiling the frog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's, they're in a pot of water where it's heating up and the frog doesn't even know it's getting hot until it's too late, you know, to jump out, because by that time they're boiling. You know, it's something that is very difficult to go against if that line keeps getting crossed over and over and a person finds themselves changing where their line is of what they would tolerate.
Hmm. Well, and you made a great point just a second ago about this can happen to anybody. You've brought in victims before, and those shows to me are just, I don't know what to say, or it's hard to hear. But in the case, in so many cases of people you've come in and had them tell their stories, they're really accomplished and really it's not just a certain kind of person this happens to.
Impressive to see how strong and how people overcome. I mean, our jobs, we love our jobs because we are in partnership with really strong people who are finding their way under these unfortunate, very unfortunate situation, circumstances. But I'll say, you know, we have volunteer training 3 times a year. It's a 40-hour training. It's a lot. We have individuals come. We have professionals come. We have father-daughters, mother-daughters, mother-sons. You know, we have like people who commit to learning about the issue. And inevitably within the first training or second training, or it might carry throughout the training, we have people saying, well, you know, it doesn't, you know, I would never tolerate that. Or, you know, I grew up and with, you know, a strong, you know, mom, you know, my dad would never treat my mom that way. You know, like people believe that there is an immunity to domestic violence through a set of characteristics. And in fact, it is just such a myth. Mm. You could be the strongest in the strongest of positions, whether that be a fortified personality or just really a great upbringing, or just really strong human being, really sure of yourself. You could be the most successful CEO of any Fortune 500 company. You know, it really, that is not the test on whether you're going to meet someone and by fate, by chance, you're going to actually meet someone who in the end is will intend and will commit harm against you versus, you know, meeting a loving human being who, you know,
because as you often say, they're not going to be like that when you first, you don't fall in love with somebody like that.
Somebody who comes to the first date and throws a punch,
right,
slaps you, you know, any number of things that happen later on as that domestic violence progresses, that intimidation, showing some scary side of themselves, mm-hmm. Putting them down, threatening their life, threatening their children's lives, threatening a pet, harming a pet, you know, all of these sort of severe and obvious signs that things went wrong, you know, because we started this conversation with, you know, how do you know if this is domestic violence, because we don't teach people that terminology, which in fact Empower House does, but we could get to that subject. But But yeah, people do not have the tools to recognize those early signs. And even in recognizing those early signs, I mean, we have so many favorite programs, but I do love our volunteer training and program in that, you know, we've had people go through sort of those long sessions and slog through, you know, in partnership with other people. It's a great opportunity to meet other people. But in through that, we've had people come back and say, you know, we went through, you know, my daughter and I went through your volunteer training. And when she met someone who was unhealthy and harmful to her, I can't tell you how much we used that training to move through that quickly. And, you know, spot the signs and do the things we needed and connect with the people we needed to connect to really stop that in its tracks and help her to move on quickly.
And just the work that you're doing in the schools.
I love the work we're doing in the schools, both for people to spot the signs, bring that information home, of course, but really break down the terminology and learn about healthy relationships. What qualities really are you looking for? And it's unique to every individual, but they can start to examine some of those behaviors and recognize, okay, that isn't a tolerated behavior. And oh no, that doesn't mean someone's in love with me because they're obsessed with me. And oh, jealousy, normal emotion, but not to be used to control me. There are so many things that people learn, and those that might have a predisposition or an environment where they might think that is the way you treat others, you know, their wheels are turning and looking at, oh, and the reason that's important is we also have, I mean, there's lots of reasons that's important, but we have a batterer's intervention program where folks are court ordered to attend, you know, a program to help them gain concepts and skills, et cetera, so that they will cease certainly the physical violence and hopefully more than that. Well, you know, a lot of them will go through the program and some have said, you know, I wish something like this had been available to me as a young person. And chances are I would never have gotten, you know, to be arrested and to be, have to try to unlearn these things now as an adult.
So the volunteer training programs, you're always looking for people that want to do that.
We are, and it's a matter of filling out that volunteer application on our website and getting in the queue, because we do fill up, and it's a serious commitment. There are other ways to volunteer, and sometimes we find our way to that place because people aren't necessarily signing up and wanting to work directly with survivors, or maybe even shouldn't. But there are so many ways to volunteer and also carry the message in the community. We just talked about, Ted, how not there's still people who don't know about us. And I believe every person who goes to that volunteer training becomes an ambassador for knowing the services.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to, if you're interested in doing the training and having someone talk you through it and what's involved, just empowerhouseva.org.
Absolutely. They fill out the application online, and it's really, you know, you're going to take that information with you for the rest of your life. It's fascinating. You meet other people who are also going through the training. You guys work through any number of scenarios. So it's really hands-on, experiential, interesting learning. And more importantly, it's going to serve a purpose, supporting somebody or protecting somebody in the future. Maybe even as we talked about, if a young person learns early enough, maybe it's the opportunity that's a path they would never go down, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the sad fact is we're all around domestic violence victims. What, one in four?
One in four women will experience severe physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner. I mean, those numbers.
That's just, I said, I always still be, and I always have my neighborhood in mind. And I look, you think of the houses and you just think.
I was thinking this morning how it's back to school time. And I was thinking, you know, 10 years ago, we compared our numbers with nationwide numbers. And we realized every year, 10,000 children in our area, and this is every year, witness domestic violence in their homes.
Wow.
It is, yeah, I mean, big pause.
And all of us, it is. You think about whether, you know, it's who you're working around or going to church with or, you know, any number of things.
Yeah. I mean, it is all around us, but we're not always going to see. I mean, most of the time we're not going to see signs. But I would say that when you know what signs and you have tools in your tool belt, like you would get in our volunteer training or like you could, you know, benefit from a phone call to our hotline to talk through some of that, you know, there are things people can do and really need to be doing. And I know we talked about the person who went into the bank. The bank teller gave them information about Empower House when they realized, you know, what was happening. Mm-hmm. There was probably some type of financial abuse, or it could be that they saw a bruise or that someone started crying in the teller. You know, I don't know what the circumstances were, but to hear that that is something, you know, somebody from a business in our community did.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful thing. I know we might run out of time, but I really think talking about our youth programming for a couple of minutes would be a great idea this morning.
Let's do that when we come back. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about the youth programming with Empower House. EmpowerHouseVA.org, the website, the hotline number 373-9373. Kathy Anderson here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:29.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Kathy Anderson with Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. If you want to find out more information, and the hotline number is 373-9373. There are a number of events coming up that we will we'll talk about too as we move along this morning. But we ended, Kathy, a second ago, just talking about wanted to talk about the youth program, because that is so important, because you talk about the skills and the skills that a lot of us don't have. This gets some of these kids some skills.
100%. I mean, I can't talk enough about the quality and the quantity of work that's being done by our youth team. So in addition to the things you might think of, that we have people available to talk to children, and I say people, there's not a lot of people, but we have dedicated resources for children, for youth, in terms of things that are being experienced, whether that's witnessing abuse at home or navigating their relationships. And that's certainly changed through the pandemic and through to now. But I think the things that I'm kind of wishing people to know about right now is we are back to school, and we go into classrooms all the time. Not enough in the fall, a ton in the spring, which I think the message there is, boy, if schools could take advantage of the resources and services in the fall, in the summer and fall, the same way they do in the spring, more children would benefit from the information. And when I say the information, you know, it depends on what grade, what set of folks are going to talk to. We don't go to assembly presentations. They're just not effective. And so that's why they're classroom-based. They're free. And topics that get covered are communication, are behaviors, are friendship behaviors, are bullying, our emotions, and through a series of activities, these pieces of information come out where students can sort of vet behaviors. They can be in small group discussions. They will be part of it as a lecture, part of it as activity. And in the small groups that they have, they might look at a set of behaviors and sort of evaluate whether they're healthy, unhealthy, or border than too abusive. They might order a set of behaviors from least offensive to worst offensive and do that as a group and then talk through, you know, why they chose the way they did. They might do an activity depending on, you know, what our youth were in classrooms in the middle school in King George County 5 days in a row talking to the same set of girls, and then back again the next week talking to the same set of boys, and changing up those activities every day for a very meaningful end result for those students. when we go in one-time classroom presentations, it's a mixture, say at the high school level, say it's ninth grade, there'll be a mixture of things that are on the screen, short video snippets, talking through technology abuse, social media abuse, and those things that they might identify that in their world make sense for them to gravitate towards in terms of their friendships and their ultimately relationships, because they're all looking at those things and experimenting with those things quite early. And so the sooner that they have language to identify that someone crossed a line and how you then respond to that, or as soon as kids who are crossing the line have the information and the tools and the resources and the skills to use other ways, you know, to communicate, express, and know, and even identify the feelings and what it is that's happening, the sooner they have that information and that skill set, the better really our community is, the better it is for them in their friendships and relationships. And we can't learn everything at home, and not everybody learns healthy things at home.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that you talk about getting the skills and just being able to recognize sometimes it's like you say, it may not impact them personally, but they may see things in friends. And
there are so many light bulbs. We were with a more mature set of kids in the 10th grade at one of the schools in Stafford. And as we went through this activity where they each are a character in a real life simulation scenario. So each of them are in a relationship, and the cards will tell them kind of what's happening in the relationship. And then they'll go to the next station where maybe it's a friend or a family member, or, you know, the school counselor gets involved, or the SOR, the school resource office, officer gets involved. You know, so there's all these scenarios that are pre-made, and the kids are going through them, and then the card tells them what happens next, and they might not like what the card tells them, or maybe they're like, oh, I wish I would have picked this over here. Maybe that would have been a better outcome, et cetera, et cetera. So there's one kid who's really acting up, and he was the class clown, and, you know, he came to our instructor and said, you know, you set me up. Well, he got, you know, the really bad card. It's the card where this person didn't survive.
Yeah.
You know, we know that's factual about domestic violence, that there is, you know, in Virginia, every 5 days, someone is murdered because of domestic violence. So that is a part of this. So in the scenario, he got the card where the survivor did not survive. And he came to her, he's like, you set me up. You know, I'll go through this again. And she's like, well, I hate to tell you, but no matter what you would have picked, it was going to result in that. That's just that.
Boy, that's real life.
That's that character.
Yeah.
In this scenario. And it's a real life.
Yeah.
You know, it was taken from a real life experience. It was a mom who provided that story, who then was like, I don't want this to happen to anyone else. If what happened to my daughter could be shared, let's hope that it saves a life somewhere else. Well, there were some kids goofing off in this scenario and not taking it seriously. And why should they? You know, they're kids, and you don't expect, you know, we're talking about difficult things.
This is heavy
kids
stuff.
Are going to act out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's nothing unusual. Well, the class clown, who's very influential, you know, he turns to them and he's like, you better take this seriously. You know, my character died. You know, so, I mean, this grabs their attention.
Sure.
This is not our only activity. In fact, it's usually more of a training activity. But if we have multiple times with, and of course, all of these things are vetted through the teachers and through the counselors and everything else. But this tool really brought out some interesting interactions and some important interactions for those kids to absorb and take in, you know, that they are negotiating relationships for the rest of their life. And there's a lot that they need to learn.
That's so interesting. Because it sounds like I've gone through some of the training at the Rappahannock, the Regional Criminal Justice Academy, and they do these scenarios. And, you know, you're walking up to a car, or you're, you know, dealing with real-time situations that law enforcement deals with.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You start walking in someone else's steps and having to make decisions, and then you see the results.
It's 100%. I mean, poverty simulations are like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is one example. I know we've been on your show and talked about Build-A-Boo, where, you know, they get cards of mm-hmm. like, you know, someone who tells the truth, someone who, you know, is considerate, and, you know, someone who's trustworthy, you know, so they have all these, you know, the characteristics can be someone who's really good looking, you know, like, you know, they get to choose like how they're going to build this, and they're like trading cards, you know, because not everybody, you know, but just walking through those, hey, those are steps in my life.
Right.
I need to be thinking, or eventually, if I don't think about this ahead of time, those decisions are going to be made for me, and I'll be ill-equipped, that I need to go negotiate the things that are important to me and what are my bottom lines. And I can have a bottom line, you know, just because someone, you know, just because I want to be in a relationship, someone comes along, that doesn't mean that is the person that I need to be with, or that. So these are all things they're negotiating. And I believe we have such an opportunity, and we've seen such great outcomes of either folks taking information home and having an outcome for a survivor who's struggling and doesn't know about resources, or they're learning how to be better advocates for themselves.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many things to think about, because you think you take this home and all of a sudden one of your parents might have experienced some things, and this never came up, and it gives them a chance. There's so many avenues of this.
We've definitely received phone calls where it's been taken home, and if schools have been frustrated that they are limited in their ability to know what to do when they see these scenarios at school, and it's not really their place, and, you know, but it's impacting their academic. You know, there's more information and available that people realize trauma, et cetera, is impacting kids at school. So that these tools can be available, provided that the information is there, that kids can take the information home, that kids themselves who are experiencing anxiety around the domestic violence they're witnessing at home, they know there are avenues, there are people to talk to. All of these things are great outcomes of these free school presentations. And the kids really engage. We get great reviews from the teachers, great reviews from the administrators. And I know I've said this on your show before, but we worked with a young woman who spoke at one of our events who was a survivor, a very young woman, worked at Mary Washington Healthcare. And we asked her to speak. She said, "I'll speak, but I'm only going to speak on this agenda that I'm on about kids getting the information they need about them." And we said, "Oh, that's great, because, you know, that's exactly, you know, we are increasing the work we're doing in that area." And she said she got up and spoke, and she had a bit of a slur, and she talked about, you know, "When I was in school, they taught me everything about all the harms that might befall me. They told me about teenage suicide. They told me about guns. They told me about pregnancy. They told me about STIs and all of these things, that ways to protect myself in the future." And she's like, "But no one ever told me that the person who I trusted and who loved me would beat me within an inch of my life with a pipe in a parking lot after I broke up with him." And the reason she had slurred speech is she apologized and said she was still having surgeries, and she had just had one that day from the injuries she sustained from this guy that was her boyfriend. And none of that, you know, none of that is someone's fault. And would things have been different if she had information? She firmly believes things would have been different. I have no idea. I do know that if that doesn't say something about children need information along the way, and they need the expert information that we provide, and we do that for free. And we do that in consultation with the teachers and the administrators and often the parents. So, you know, I think if people don't take advantage of this free resource, it's a real shame for the kids in our community and the families they're in.
It's a good segue. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up this morning and talk about some events taking place and some opportunities to financially give to Empower House. And the work that you have heard about this morning. This is really, really good stuff. Kathy Anderson here from Empower House. 373-9373, the number for the hotline. The website, again, is empowerhouseva.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Kathy Anderson this morning from Empower House. EmpowerHouseVA.org or the hotline number, 373-9373. We talked about all the great things you're doing, and there are ways that people can get involved. There's a couple of events coming up. One, I've never done this, but everybody who's gone tells me that one of the great events in the course in every year in this area is the Night of Pies.
It's so exciting, and I'm going to tell you about it. And if you go to Night of 1,000 Pies, remember you're benefiting our mission. But I do want to say, if someone wants to schedule one of those classroom presentations, any of the schools, any of the administrators, teachers, etc., the email address is mindyp@empowerhouseva.org. I'm going to spell it mendyp@empowerhouseva.org. So P as in parsnip. Mindy,
okay.
M-E-N-D-Y-P at empowerhouseva.org.
Okay. And I'll include that when we
thank you.
Post the show and everything. But anyway.
Night of 1,000 Pies. There's not 1,000 pies, but there's a whole lot of pies, a whole lot of people, a whole lot of savory pie, a whole lot of sweet pie. We got some beverages. But it's all in this beautiful evening garden party, and in the beautiful home of the sponsors of this event, who have held this at their home for 12 years in a row, and it's in August. It's
August 26th.
It is, and if somebody wants to get involved, it's not quite too late, but soon it will be.
I was
going to
say
late.
This usually sells out.
It in some people's eyes, it's already sold out. Some there's some, you know, it's still open. But it's barely still open.
Okay.
So, you know, like if anybody's listening to the show today and wants to be a part of it, now would be the great time to reach out. But most of the people who know about it and have been going, they're all signed up. And yeah, we're well on our way to the planning of this party. But those pies, delicious. The mingling under the stars.
Yeah.
The DJ. The dancing outside. For those who like that, other people are chatting in little circles. But
I'd be just eating pies.
I kind of want to stand at the pie. I said that, like, what if I station myself at the sweet pies? Or, you know, and people just, you know, but I barely get any pie, of course. But if it were me and I wasn't the role that I play and I could go to the party and just eat pie, there is great pie.
Just have a pie there, maybe put some Cool Whip on it.
Who doesn't love pie? Exactly. I know there's pecan pie people, but I'm definitely a pie person. And that is that event. People are going to be with their co-pie people, not co-pilot.
Co-pie people. August 26th. So get in, go to empowerhousevda.org. You'll see the information. Don't wait on that. The October 6th is your annual golf tournament.
It is October 6th, and we are on our way to. Last year we sold out in advance of pre-registration, where pre-registration has the better rate for registering the golf team. So I think it's at, if you didn't know about it, it's at Pendleton Golf Course, beautiful Pendleton Golf Course. Our start is such that it's a staggered start. So you know the time you're going to be starting, and you're out there enjoying that with your team, enjoying the beauty of Pendleton. We've always had beautiful days, and it's really great weather at that time of year, not to jinx it. And I don't know what more to say except that we're still accepting sponsorships to make that event more profitable to the mission. So the more folks who are involved, the more folks who sponsor, the more that goes to the bottom line of helping our mission. There's many things that don't get achieved each year that could get achieved, but for resources. So there is no harm in jumping in and helping. It's all good for all people to get involved. We have a lot of registrations of golfers, and we have a lot of sponsors so far, but not quite enough, and we're not there yet.
Okay.
Because we're in August. We're still in early August. The event is October 6th. The start will vary for anywhere from 8 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But all our registration is online. It's from our website, and you've named the website empowerhouseva.org many times, Ted.
So, again, we talked earlier about the programs for kids. Those programs happen because people and sponsors get involved. The other thing we have not talked about at all today and will be for another day is just the home that you have that you house women, and you've needed a generator. You have a generator.
Hey, Ted, I said that to you this morning. I'm like, I can give an update on that. So the generator was ordered, and it took a year to come in. News is the generator came in, so now we're in the process of scheduling the work. So it's taken that long because generators have been in high demand, and people talk about supply chain issues. They're real.
Yeah.
And but the good news is the efforts to make that happen there. There's going to be some progress now.
Just the things that happen at that house, and so many things when just, you know, needing air conditioning. There was a fire there couple of years ago now, but there have been so many things. But again, another thing that Empower House does in the community.
Fire a year ago, and we did open back up last December, and of course we sheltered in other ways, which made things very difficult for everybody. But everybody's back in the building, and we are. Sheltering anywhere from 10 to 30 people at a time. And when I say people, I'm talking about individual women who may need it for the domestic violence, or it may be a family with 8 children. And that certainly happened since we opened the building again in December. So summertime came to an end and kids back to school, but we certainly had a full shelter all summer. People hear the word shelter and they misunderstand what we're providing, but it is suites with bedrooms, and it is a great if one needs it, and unfortunately a lot of people need it, it is a really good way to take a break from the domestic violence, to really regroup and feel safe and get a good night's sleep.
We'll talk about that next time you come in, and talk about some other things. Thank you for coming in this morning. This has just been really enlightening and opened up a whole lot of things that I even learned this morning. Again, if you want to get somebody, get your school involved in this, Mendy, M-E-N-D-Y-P, at empowerhouseva.org.
Or call us and we can give you that address as well, or send an email to our general address to get that email in case you didn't get it exactly what you needed. Lots of ways to get to us to find out more about the presentations.
EmpowerHouseVA.org. Again, the hotline number, 373-9373. Thank you, Kathy Anderson. See you soon.
Thanks, Ted. Great.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.